Okay, this hour, it's the interactive portion of the program. We'll take your phone calls with Linda Sherman and Richard Spitzer as we talk about their work, Our Choice, Extinction or Evolution, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Linda Sherman with us, Richard Spitzer, the book, Our Choice. We'll get to your calls, too. Let's start with you here, Richard. If you could just change one of these top priorities, which one would it be?
Oh, astute question. Well, I would get to the information management and security because it's affecting everything. And we live in a world now where, as Linda pointed out, somebody with a few clicks could bring down the entire energy grid, yep, the economic system. There was an article in Business Week this week, weaponizing Facebook. Information has been weaponized. So what we need, and I know this, you know, steps on somebody's freedom of speech things, but we need a more wise approach to information management. The equivalent, if you can't yell fire in a theater, well, you can't do it online or social media either. There has to be a vetting process of what's out there. And I know Facebook has started. They've hired people to start looking for.
But we don't want government to do it.
Well, no, it's got to be private enterprise.
Yeah,
they have a vested interest in doing it right, and they'll do it quickly, and they'll make a profit. You know, there was a movie out a number of years ago with Tom Cruise called Minority Report, where they had the thought police. They could read people's minds and stop crimes before they happened. Well, you know, that's a horrible thing to anticipate, that they're reading your minds. But if someone can hack into your Equifax account and steal all your identity information, We're not doing anything about that. I mean, we watch TV programs and, you know, the spies can use cameras to figure out what's going on 10,000 miles away and solve it in 60 seconds, but we can't stop somebody from hacking into our bank account. So I would deal with the security because without that, the secure of information, we can't make or trust any other decisions.
What about you, Linda?
I agree with Rich. As I said, we tend to finish each other's sentences.
Yes, you do.
I agree we have to set a standard in news programs, on Facebook, online. We have to set some kind of a standard. You know, I remember last year listening to your show. You interviewed Ted Koppel,
mm-hmm,
who's a great news person.
Who's concerned about the grid.
Exactly. And he said, which is something I knew because I published it in my newsletter, that up to about 1987, 86, 87, there was a standard that you could be sued or you could be taken to the cleaners if you didn't report the truth on the news, whether it was newspapers or the radio or TV or whatever, that you had to stick to at least what you thought was the truth. There was a law involved there, and that law was abolished. And you can just date things going downhill from that time. And I'm not big on Big Brother watching you and government over protectionism, but there has to be some kind of standard set. And part of the information that Rich and I are talking about that we get into in that chapter has to do with education. There has been a systematic removal from civics and political science from the public school classrooms. And I know I'm an elder person, but when I was in high school, I had to take a course in and take a test in the Constitution in my senior year. I lived in Illinois at the time. I had to take the federal Constitution test and the Illinois state Constitution test in order to get in to my senior year. I remember having debates in my classroom from ninth grade on about issues, politicians, what they stood for, political parties, what they stood for. This, our kids are no longer educated in this. It's one of the reasons the government has gotten so incredibly gone downhill is that people aren't educated. You, George, you yourself talk about our founders. You talk about the Constitution. So many young people know nothing about it. How can they be a citizen? How can they work in a democracy? And how can they require a critical thinking, which has to return to our discourse, which is what Rich was talking about in the whole communication thing, that it dumbs us down rather than generating really intelligent debates and critical thinking. And I agree with Rich that it's in this arena is number one. We can't get anything else done without it.
Let's go to some of the calls. David in Virginia on the wildcard line to get us started. Hi, David.
How you doing, George?
Great.
Yeah, my name is David. I go by the nickname Chocolate Cake Guy. I call in a lot of radio shows.
Okay.
I was wondering what your guests thought, what their take would be on a major prediction that I'm making for this weekend as far as trends in astrological charts go, if it would line up or not.
What's the prediction?
I'm predicting that we're going to have a major bank freeze this Friday, and that over the weekend there is going to be a catastrophe in Tokyo, Japan region with a 9.0 or bigger earthquake that will cause the Mount Fuji mountain to erupt, and there'll also be a tsunami from this, the subduction plate, and that there will be a worldwide stock market crash Monday the 18th.
Oh, my God. Well, it's all laid out there for all of us to see. Linda, what do you think of that?
I don't make predictions that are absolute, but I think the guy has a point.
Really?
Well, Saturn is in a position right now that every time Saturn has been at what we call the galactic center, we have had a stock market, either a major correction or what you would call a crash. And it's just been going up and up and up with the hopes that the corporations are going to get this gigantic tax break. And as I said, the financial markets are in the hands of a very few people. Historically, it has never been concentrated in the hands of so few people as where it is today. So I say as an astrologer that he may be, I'm not sure about Japan. I think that Japan is coming into a very difficult cycle next year. I predicted that the collapse of the Nikkei way back in, we bought puts on the Nikkei back in 1988. And in 1990 to 1992, the Nikkei collapsed, basically, or crashed. And then I predicted the tsunami and the earthquake. I think Japan is in major trouble. And Japan is in a very, very difficult cycle. The position of Pluto is hitting a critical point in their chart. I also have been telling my clients, watch out for a major sell-off on Wall Street this month, between now and the end of the month. Now, I don't know whether it's that these things are going to be the catastrophic proportions, David, that you suggest. But astrologically speaking, you may have a point that something could happen to set this off.
Well, we'll monitor this. It's easy to find and track, isn't it, Linda?
Yes.
Richard, let me ask you this, too. As you look at this as an analyst, do you get the vibes and have to make guesses with the data? Or how do you handle it?
Well, good question. I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, yes, I get hard data, and I have to interpret it like any diagnostician, since we only have data up until the point we're looking at. It doesn't tell us about the future, but gets back to where the cycles. And yet, it's also looking at human behavior. How do people react as information begins to influence them? And to your caller-in's question about this, it's very relevant to what you just asked, which is information has momentum. It picks up speed, and then it drives people crazy. We see volatility in the stock market, you know, by the hour. And here's my definition of volatility that gets back to your question, George, which is volatility is behavior based on something I did today because I got new information that I didn't have yesterday. So every day's volatility is because we have new information, and it's different than what we thought. how can you make a long-term solution? And as far as the stock market, a week ago I said, well, I agree with Linda, we're going to have a retrenchment. In the last week, I've updated my own index. I've been running this index since September of 2006. In the last 2 months, the internal measurements of how we measure sentiment, positive, negative, uncertain, is the first time since September of 2006 that the pattern that existed prior to the recession is reappearing. It has never been like this since the recovery started. I mean, I had to double check my numbers. I mean, we have a weekly sentiment measure, and it started to change in the fall of 2006 before the big crash, and it's never repeated this pattern until the last 2 months. This is what, you know, Greenspan called irrational exuberance. It's at it again because the math does not add up. Let me just give you four quick numbers.
Sure.
The market's up almost 21% through September for this year. Well, what drives markets? Profits, revenues, expectations as such. Well, where is this expectation based on? Population's only up like 0.7%. Household average average wages are up 2.5%. Retail sales are up over 4%. At the same time, consumer debt this fall hit an all-time high.
Right. Right.
Margin trading in September hit another record,
$560 billion.
And the last time we had record highs were in a few months before the 2000 crash and the 2007. So we have this perfect storm where people have forgot what happened, as you know, your caller in said, there's going to be a market crash. I mean, I don't know if it'll be this month, but within the next 6 months, it's going to be, I think it'll be more catastrophic than that. And I don't want to say that because, you know, I haven't taken all my money out yet, but I might just have to do that.
Well, a lot of people are feeling uneasy. They're feeling strange. The planet, Linda, astrologically speaking, seems to be out of kilter. Is it?
Well, yes, it is out of kilter in the sense of balance or stability or people making rational decisions. I agree that Greenspan's thing, irrational exuberance. Saturn is in the position it was in 1987. You remember that? Everybody, the stock market was going through the ceiling, through the sky, you know, and then we had the biggest crash in the fall of 87 we had had since 1929. Pluto was in this position between 2007 and 2008. Need I say more? Now Saturn is at that position at the center of the galaxy again. And whether the cartel of transnational banks and funds and everything props it up or whatever, I don't know, but we're going into a major, major recessionary cycle. We right now, our debt is 106% of GDP. I mean, as Rich pointed out, we have never had the amount of credit card debt in our history that we have on the part of the population right now. They're leveraged to the nth degree. And they talk on Wall Street how wonderful everything is. And it has to end. It can't go on this way. We have half of this nation lives at or below the poverty line. The situation with homelessness that you never hear about. You know, back in 1985, when Ronald Reagan was president, there was a lot of fuss made over the homeless. And there were news stations that sent people into New York City. At that time in 1985, there were 10,000 homeless people in New York City, and we were upset about it. President Reagan was upset about it. People were talking about it. Do you know how many homeless people today?
Too much.
61,000 people homeless in New York City.
It's like a city by itself.
It is. I mean, that's the size of the city I happen to live in. And San Francisco, the people are crowding over the streets, the roads, the highways. Portland, Oregon, there's so much homelessness. They're in the bushes, they're in the parks, and they can't, and some of them have full-time jobs. My daughter is volunteering at a homeless shelter in Portland, Oregon, and told us about a young married couple. Both had full-time jobs. They had two children. They couldn't afford housing. There was no place that they were living in a homeless shelter or out of their car because they couldn't afford housing. And by the way, to the statisticians and everything, they don't exist. They're not unemployed. You know, there are more and more, quote, non-existent people that are not discussed or talked about. This country is in a very bad way, as is so much of the rest of the world. We have immigration out of terrible failed states, from Syria to Yemen to Myanmar. I mean, the amount of refugees hasn't been seen to this extent since World War II. We are in, there's inequality in terms of opportunity. It's not just about wealth, it's opportunity for wealth that has been removed systematically. And climate change is affecting these nations. Syria, before their civil war, had experienced the greatest heat and drought in modern history. The rivers in the Middle East are the biblical rivers, the Tigris, Euphrates, are drying up. Temperatures are reaching 125, 130 degrees in these regions. All of this is a part of the overall scheme. We can't continue with this massive bubble machine on Wall Street that much longer. It may extend out a little bit. Jupiter is in Scorpio, so there may be people still investing.
Propping it up. That's all they're doing.
I feel an honest crash would not be such a bad thing because we would face the realities. But they may, as you said, prop it up next year a little bit longer. But the big conjunctions between 2019 and 2020 of Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto are so massively significant and serious that we cannot prop it up. Between now and 2020 is going to be the darkest part of this global depression, I'm calling it.
Let's go to Greg in New Jersey. Hey, Greg, go ahead.
You've mentioned climate change and Wall Street. We now have the worst EPA person in history heading the EPA. This guy makes Dick Cheney look like Mother Teresa.
That's right. That's exactly correct.
I'm an IT guy. I live in New Jersey, work in New York. What you just said about 2019 into 2020 is what's scaring the you-know-what out of everybody. Now, Mr. Humpty Trumpy, I can't resist it, George. The day after the tax cut things happened, where was he? Was he meeting with, you know, steel workers in Pittsburgh or folks out, you know, in the Midwest or at factories? He was meeting with the exact people you're talking about, the Wall Street criminals, at a breakfast celebrating their great victory. Yeah. There should have been a guillotine set outside, I swear. The question is, though, well, I think the election in Alabama is a positive step. I mean, it's not as bad as that other guy could be. But the thing is, between these two factors, I mean, Germany, they take care of their folks. They have national health insurance. I lived over there. The kids went to school. They have the grades, right, as an American citizen, even when we qualified. They've also absorbed a million citizens.
And it's affordable as well. We're going to come back and wrap things up and take final calls in a moment with Linda Sherman and Richard Spitzer. Our choice, extinction or evolution? The big question is, what will that choice be? George Norrie back with you with our special guests, Linda Sherman and Richard Spitzer. Linda, are you convinced we can change this and make it work?
I think we can. The question is, will we? Will we have the motivation? Will we be awake enough? Will we be determined enough? I think we can. I think it's a possibility. And you can always say to yourself, well, it's a possibility we will fail. It's a possibility we will succeed. Again, it's a choice that you make. And I choose to believe that we can make it. We can make it to the other side. We can create. We can innovate. ourselves out of the crises that we have created on this planet. We can change our consciousness to a more cooperative kind of consciousness. As Richard had said before, it's almost like it's nature against human nature, and we need to see ourselves as in cooperation with each other and in concert with life on Earth, and that is going to require of us a major consciousness change. I think we can do it. I see people doing it already. I see new innovation that we write about in the book. I see wonderful people that I have met both in person and through their writings that are brilliant, have wonderful ideas, have good hearts, and I think a good heart is a heart-centered human being is a better human being. I think we can. I don't know whether we will or not. There are no absolutes in life, in astrology, or in anything else. But I have a certain amount of faith and a real conviction that we can do this.
Richard, in all respects to both of you, of course, why do we need an astrologer and an analyst to tell us when our leaders should be doing this on their own?
Well, they should be, but they're not.
I know.
So you and I share the same concerns. We thought that a new way of making choices was critical. And we both looked. We haven't found any other combination of astrology and modern trend analysis. And so, at the very least, we got to try something new. We have to find something new that explains and helps us make better decisions. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do things against our self-interest? Are we missing some information that might readily be available? And I've come to appreciate that Linda's approach, astrology, sincere astrology, is another source of information that says, it gives us some guidance about how to understand. You used the word before. Is the world out of kilter? Yeah, it's physically, literally and figuratively out of kilter, and astrology helps explain that. But Linda and I didn't just write a book and we're going to walk away and hope. We're starting a quarterly report beginning in January that's going to monitor the progress. We're committed to this, to try and keep the story out there, to get people engaged. And we need someone because, to your question, no, we don't think someone's going to do it unless we do it ourselves. So,
are we going to hit some road bumps before we get there?
Pardon me?
Are we going to hit some big road bumps before we get there?
Yes. I think we all agree we're going to have a big market correction. There's a political upheaval going on. We probably won't go to war with North Korea because China will,
intervene.
I mean, they don't want that there. But we don't get three more tries. That's it, George. The world's out of kilter.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I think Linda's right. We might do it, but we don't get three more tries. Things are too far along, I think.
Next up, Brian in San Diego is with us. Hello, Brian. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Linda and Richard. Hey, I agree with a lot that you've said here, especially having to do with the people who are having a tough time in the world and economically and all that. But I have to respectfully disagree with two little areas. And number one, having to do with the past 150 years, the global warming has really gone up only 0.8 degrees. And that comes from actual information from science. So from the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, and there are quite a few other areas. But the other area, Linda, you mentioned the Bitcoin problem. And, the blockchain itself is virtually unhackable. The honeypot area are the exchanges. That's the problem area. And that has to be, really beefed up. But the thing that I worry about most is that our governments are spewing this propaganda that is incorrect science on the so-called man-made global warming, which has always been a government scam from the beginning because there's a lot of money in it, Al Gore, of course, being one, who's become a multimillionaire over this, his failed movie, but all sorts of things. So I appreciate all the other information that you guys have, but I just wanted to get that in there. Thank you.
Okay, who wants to react to that?
Well, let me ask you one thing about Bitcoin. Yeah, I understand that there's this, you know, double-sided security. It's virtually unhackable so far.
It's been hacked, though. It was hacked last week.
Was it? Okay, well, as soon as there's an economic incentive, someone's going to hack it from the outside or from the inside. This has happened every single time in history. So right now it's relatively safe, but, you know, Linda knows more about it than I, but it's nothing is unhackable.
This is right, and I am predicting in the month of May that there's going to be some kind of major hacking crisis or cyber security breach or breakdown in the month of May this coming year, when Mars and Uranus and all square each other. I think there's the last May, it's interesting, there was this ransom hack that was very significant in May of this year. I think there's going to be something even bigger than that coming up in the spring of this year that's going to be, and I do not think that they say blockchain is unhackable. There is nothing that is unhackable, nothing that somebody is not going to figure out and get into.
True.
And the concern I have is the lack of private control that people have over their finances and resources when they go into this world. Now, the other thing, I respectfully disagree with the man about climate change. It sounds like those are very small numbers, but the climate scientists and oceanographers who know much more about this than either you or I know, say this is very, very significant in the kind of change that is taking place on the planet as the result of this, the death of species, particularly in the oceans, the hot spots, the increase in hurricanes that's due to the warm spots in the ocean that feed hurricanes. I could go on and on and on, which I do. I have an online monthly newsletter that quotes from the global climate scientists, and we have a chapter in our book about this. And even though that percentage seems to be very small, it's significant. However, there's something, you're right in the sense that there are natural warmings and coolings that have always taken place without human beings present doing anything at all. So that's part of the story, which makes everything complex. But I am actually predicting what we would call an extended Maunder minimum coming up in the 2020s and into the 2030s. Now, you may have heard of the mini ice age that took place. In fact, the American Revolution was fought during that period. It was preceded by a global warming, and then we had an extended what was called the mini ice age, which was a global cooling. And it's interesting because I'm an astrologer and I'm looking at these patterns going into the sign of Aquarius, Jupiter, Saturn, and then Pluto going into the sign of Aquarius. And I said to my husband, you know, that represents a cooling. And yet we have a carbon-produced global warming. Now, what is this going to mean? Nobody really knows, but I said, I wonder what's going to create this. And then it occurred to me in a eureka moment that this might be an extended Maunder minimum, which is fewer storms on the sun. When we have a Maunder maximum, we have a lot of storms on the sun, and Earth heats up.
We get hit big time, yeah.
Yes, big time, and we have had some of those. What I am seeing with these planetary placements in Aquarius is we may have an extended Maunder minimum, which is the last time that happened over a couple of hundred years was the mini ice age. And I'm looking at this as almost like a divine reprieve from the warming cycle that is doing so much damage and the carbon gases in the environment. And guess what? I read an article online from a science publication where a woman who is one of the leading astrophysicists in the world published a paper, I believe it was last year, and she predicted, she's an expert, we talk about Rich is an expert on cycles and I deal with cycles, she's an expert on solar cycles. She's an astronomer, and she is predicting that by 2030, maybe even the late 2020s, we're going to see another extended Maunder minimum, and possibly a mini ice age.
I think so.
So what we're dealing with here is we don't know, because it's never happened before, what man-made deposits of carbon gases in the environment that is behind this warming. I have to disagree with the person we just spoke with, because the money is never with the scientists who are talking about man-made carbon pollution and global warming, nor Al Gore making a fortune off of it. The money is with the oil and gas companies who are denying it.
Yep.
And I just want to say that none of these people are making much money off of that forecast. So that isn't the motivation. You can agree or disagree with their science, but the curiosity I have as an astrologer. If I live long enough to see that if we do have a cyclical Maunder minimum, it could balance out the massive warming and heating up that we're seeing on the planet today. So I think that's going to be, I'm throwing a little bit of a piece of information in here that I don't think a lot of people have. And this woman is the leading authority in the world on astrophysics.
Let's go to Paul, truck driving in Michigan. Hi, Paul. Go ahead, sir. Paul, you with us?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
I'm Canadian and actually driving in Michigan, and there's a Canadian singer I know, just bear with me. His name is Bruce Coburn, and he had a saying, a lot of people, I know, I understand they're pissed off, I'm pissed off too. He had a saying which is, you can't get the darkness until it bleeds daylight. And I believe that, and your speakers are mentioning that. Are you there, George?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the solutions I have, I like to think out of the box, with global warming, I see it every time in North, I drive all over North America. I see rivers and lakes, their water levels decreasing. The polar bear, I don't know if you've seen that video. I wept. I cried. It's sad. It's starving up north. But there's solutions. One solution I have with polar bears, and I like to think out of the box, is it's probably a Band-Aid solution. But I'd like to see that species still be around, is if the Nordic countries like Canada, U.S., Russia, they got together and if they had, say, food source that they can use and they can possibly with the animals put them under and use that as a temporary solution, use helicopters, for instance, the Russians, Canadians, Americans, any other country. They can, certain animals, I know, the PETA is going to be mad at me, but, use certain animals and put them up there, put them under so they don't have to suffer pain. And that way, one species could be preserved, Anyway, I have two other solutions, one for every city. Is I think there's corporations already around the world that are using garbage to make electricity.
Yeah, they are, and fuel in some cases.
Yeah,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fuel in some cases, and I think it should be corporations that think out of the box. If they can do that, that would help a lot. And a third solution I would have is, once again, if countries could come together, you know, the plastic in the oceans, they're all over the place.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're floating islands. Matter of fact, next hour, we're going to talk about some of those other solutions with our next guest, Josh Tickell.
Yes, really knows this area very
sure
well.
Does.
As a leader.
We're gonna look forward to that. We're almost out of time. We have time for maybe one or two more calls. Joe in Long Island, New York. Go ahead, Joseph. Well, you're breaking up, Joe. Tom, try to get Joe's line a little better. Let's go to Joe, another Joe in Honolulu in Hawaii. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes. Hi, Bert. How you doing? Hi, Linda. Hi, Richard.
Great.
Hi. Hey, I'm not sure who this question would be for.
Just throw it out and we'll assign it.
Well, I'm trying to draw the line between the hot spot in the Middle East, which we don't have a big enough fire extinguisher for. It's a trigger man in North Korea who just can't wait to shoot something up. All of this global warming and erratic weather that we're having. And then we have a Donald Trump who just declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you really believe that this all is just random events, or is this the possible culmination of the prophecy in Revelation?
Of end times, Linda, what do you think?
Well, first of all, my father was a minister and a biblical scholar, and he had all kinds of questions about the book of Revelation, and his scholarly work had said
a minute left,
Revelation
by the way,
Linda, was about Rome, or the Roman Empire, which was the Jewish people wanted to overthrow this and escape from captivity by the Romans. And that it really had nothing to do with the times that we're in. So there's a lot of predictions out there that the world is going to end in the Middle East with Israel. The Middle East is already in a massive set of civil wars with one another between the Sunni and the Shia Muslims, and they're all stacked up against Israel. I think that this decision on the part of President Trump was like throwing a bomb into everything. It made
or gasoline on a fire.
Yes, it's a deliberate thing to play to his base, because his solutions are always bullying and violence and throw bombs into everything, dismantle everything.
Well, we've got to work on, Linda and Richard. Thank you so much. The name of the book, Our Choice. More to come when we come back.